Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Irish Farmers Journal Farming News podcast. Barry Murphy with you here from our news team. I'm joined on the line today by our news editor, Katrina Morrissey, beef editor, Adam Woods, and our news correspondents, Declan O'Brien, Noel Barden, and Rachel Donovan. Again, look, we've lots on the agenda on this week's podcast, folks, from across the farm sector. There's plenty of reading in the paper, so plenty of listening to come. The weaning trade continues to sizzle this week, and Adam is here to tell us more in a few minutes. We'll also discuss the new TAMS list and how a dribble bar slurry equipment has been taken off the scheme menu. Beef emissions, milk price forecasts, peat extraction fines, and organics will all also feature on the agenda. Look, there's a lot there, so we'll try cover it off in the next 20 minutes or so. Adam, first up, over to you. Our page one story this week again looks at the strong March trade for cattle, but with a particular focus on Whelans. Adam, look, I think you were in Monaghan last night and yesterday at the special bull Whelan sale. I think you were reporting that exporters couldn't compete with the prices being paid. How strong was it?
Yeah, it was actually the Monaghan Day sale. It's in Mohill. It's an unusual one. It's a special sort of a tradition going back 50 or 60 years. It's traditionally Monaghan buyers would have been in Mohill and in the west of Ireland buying cattle. But yeah, an electric trade, Barry, really, really strong. And look, a majority of finishers round the ring, actually. Feedlot finishers, exporters not able to compete. A couple of exporters working online, but they were dropping off. And you know, €3 is the new base now for a sort of a poor quality weanling. We're up at 3.50. I've seen weanlings making 3.80 a kilo, those Belgian blue, you know, those fancy types. So really, really good to see. But I suppose in the back of your head, and look, we don't want to talk the trade down, but in the back of your head, you're wondering what's going to happen, I guess, in 12 months' time around when these weanlings are coming back out again. But at the moment, it's really, really good.
And is it predominantly, I suppose, the creamy stuff you were saying, the blues and the Charlies, you know, would they be particularly the type of animal that the exporters will be looking for? And are they having to kind of maybe settle for a poor quality animal there at the moment?
It's probably a plainer type in general that exporter is working on. Now, obviously, they've been buying for Turkey, and obviously what has happened in Turkey over the last couple of days, that's going to maybe have implications there as regards going out there with weanlings. But they've been working on a sort of a lower grade animal, that sort of 300 to maybe 350 kilo animal, and they definitely wouldn't be up there at sort of 350, 380 a kilo in terms of price. So this is all finishers. And to be honest, it's mostly feedlot guys who are buying a heavy calf that are in a short turnaround in terms of coming back out. The big money has been paid for those 400 to 500 kilo weanlings that are going to come back out maybe in May or June, and we're quite confident as regards beef price up to that point. And I suppose that's why there's such confidence around the ring for those animals. Obviously factories have given them the nod to go on and buy those heavy weanlings, and they're standing on a price. Just important, I suppose, the grass buyers, you know, your smaller summer grazers comes out now in the next month or two, that they don't get caught up in that hype and maybe end up with very, very dear weanlings on their fields for the summer.
And is it farmers selling Whelans for their first day out, kind of, you know, Whelans that were born last spring, or is it lads who bought, say they're, you know, in the back end of the year and the Whelan sales the first of them and are now selling on those stock again, or I suppose is it a mixture of both?
You have a bit of both, actually, around Mohill and County Leitrim. You have a big tradition of going to that Monaghan Day sale in sort of early February. So a lot of people would target that sale because they would know that there'd be a lot of customers there from Donegal, a lot of, you know, three or four men there from Donegal around that ring on Wednesday. So they would target that sale. But then you have some people who are opting out of the market again, just seeing how much dearer those weanlands are and just, you know, taking the money basically and maybe go back in when maybe prices reduce.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to see the way it's shaping up. And looking all in, I think you've been looking at the Mart pages of the paper. We've a good few Mart reports there, kind of just to demonstrate that trade for the cattle. There were some highlights though, I think you've written down.
Yeah, so Adam's kind of talking about the weanlands and that pushing the trade there for just last year's cattle, but heifers as well have seen a flying trade in Elphin and Carnew. We're hearing from the Mart that all classes of heifers are up and that they're trading hotly. And there seems to be a good few northern buyers coming down for heifers, breeding heifers and that. And if we were I suppose it's just the time of year that we're starting to get into calves. The number of calves is on the up, but there's it'll still take a while to kind of for the numbers to come on stream to see what way the calf price will look. But that'll be something to look at over the next couple of weeks when more calves come on stream.
Yeah, no, thanks, Noel. Thanks, Adam. Look, definitely more important to come on the way that trade is going, particularly for the calves as they start emerging over the coming weeks, as you said. Katrina, I might move on to yourself next, if that's all right. Look, on our second page, one story this week was on the new TAMS list under the scheme. We have details from the Department of Agriculture and an exclusive story there from yourself and our machinery editor, Peter Thomas Keaveney. And you're reporting that there's a bit of an outcry from farmers and the machinery sector and machinery merchants just in terms of the dribble bar slurry equipment being taken off the scheme menu. I suppose, just how annoyed are they?
Very annoyed, Barry. So as you say, this change, it's not clear, I suppose, whether this is set in stone yet because the department hasn't published their list. But it looks like they are very much of a mind in the Department of Agriculture to cut any grant aid for dribble bar equipment in favour of giving grant aid for the trailing shoe. And the issue with that, I suppose, is the department's argument, we understand, is that the trailing shoe equipment is better in terms of ammonia losses, that there's a bigger loss from a dribble bar than there is from a trailing shoe. But farmers, anybody who's buying the machine, the machinery manufacturers, will argue that the trailing shoe is just not as suitable for some farms. And that the difference in the ammonia emissions is very, very small. It's heavier equipment, which makes it less suitable for some farms. Peter Thomas goes into depth there on the issues of the trailing shoe versus the dribble bar. But expense is probably the biggest factor, that if a farmer is going out buying today, I think the lads did, is it a 7.5 metre? They compared a 7.5 metre trailing shoe and a 7.5 metre dribble bar, like for like in terms of size. And there's about 10 grand in the difference. So that's, you know, for, let's say, a suckler farmer whose total income from farming for the year is 8,000 or so, Adam will correct me on that. But, you know, that's a massive investment. So, and also, the trailing shoe equipment tends to be bigger anyway. It tends to be more of a contractor. So you're looking at a farmer not being able to do that job on their own farm, having to get a contractor in. Now, the department seemed to have done a bit of thinking on that front, because the suggestion that we're hearing is that they'll actually give a higher grant aid, that they'll give more than the 40% that would have been there for dribble bars, that they're going to do 60% grant aid for the trailing shoe. But the huge implications for the machinery trade as well, because Patrick Toomey made the point, we were chatting in the office yesterday, you know, there's a limited number of manufacturers here, and they would have made dribble bar equipment based on TAMS demand, you know, forecast TAMS demand from farmers. We know that much more farmers are going into low emission slurry spreading this year and next year, and it's going to be a bigger and bigger proportion of the slurry spreading has to be low emissions equipment. The fact that dribble bars won't be grant aided is a big, big shock to the system in terms of that supply chain of slurry equipment. But a huge investment, and I think, you know, the parts of the farms that the likes of Adam and Declan are working off, you know, a big trailing shoe type tanker would tend to be on the bigger side and maybe less suitable for both the size of the field and the land type.
Yeah, I think so. And you referenced there on that we were talking about it yesterday, you know, maybe it's a bigger farmer issue, but will it still hit the smaller suckler farmer, Adam, you know, out west? You know, Katrina mentioned that it'd be that kind of slurry spreader to be more suitable for the land out there in terms of the dribble bar. How is it going to hit those kind of farmers?
it's going to hit them hard, Barry. You know, Katrina's right in terms of that's a lot heavier machine. It's a more specialised machine. You know, I'm up here in Drumlin country in Cavan, and it doesn't suit some fields up here in terms of going up hills and on the side of hills as well. You know, that's a really, really heavy machine. It's almost a contractor's machine. And even in terms of operating that trail and shoe, you need really specialised techniques in terms of making sure that you're going in right with that trail and shoe. So the dribble bar is definitely, it's very popular up here with contractors, very popular with farmers, and it's unfortunate to see it. And you know, it's a huge one, the cost in terms of the extra cost that trail and shoe is versus the dribble bar.
Yeah, very much so. I think it's one look, as you said, Katrina, that it's not just yet finalized in terms of that list from the department, but yourself, yeah, and Noel have more in terms of the reporting on what we know so far for TAMS, the new TAMS scheme. What is in and what's out, or what are the major changes?
So Noel will tell you himself, what I suppose John Muldowney, who's in the TAMS department in the Department of Agriculture, what he said as regards the amount of equipment. But we did hear, and it's in this week's paper, some of the extra additional bits and bobs. I think lots of people's ears will prick up when they hear things like calving cameras, solar fencing equipment, slurry separator, which is kind of a new thing. I've seen a good few farmers tweeting and Facebooking about their separating their slurry. And that eases pressure on tanks. They can you know, spread dirty water and keep the majority, the bulk of the slurry in the yard. So a few things like that. Weather stations, I thought was really interesting. I'm guessing that this is to do with the environmental ethos, and Noel will tell us exactly what John Muldowney said, but there's a very specific kind of box that all the TAMS equipment will have to hit in the new scheme. And that's, again, you know, typical of the new CAP.
Noel's perspective, there you go for it, Noel. I suppose, look, you were talking to John Muldowney, and I know Katrina's gone through a few bits there, but what more do farmers need to know?
Yeah, so farmers at the last installment of the CAP Information Series meeting that we had down in Mullingar heard that there has to be some sort of a green element, or maybe just a health and safety element at least, to every investment that's there. So the department can't be seen to be funding infrastructure or machinery that's driving productivity on farms. So that's what was said with regards to kind of what's kind of holding up the list and what they're having to work through. But overall, it does look like there'll be roughly around 100 extra sub-investment options. So there would have been 350 individual options in the last TAMS, and it's looking like it's going to be somewhere in and around 450 in the new TAMS that is due to open up shortly.
Yeah, no, it's, look, as you said, there's lots of items in it that would prick up the farmer's ears, and you've a few more bits in it as well, Katrina.
Yeah, just, I suppose it shows the level of nitty-gritty that the department are at for this scheme, which is supposed to open soon. That I think at that meeting that Noel was at, some farmers were pressing to see would a silage bale slicer on the back of the tractor be eligible, and they were told no. But yet we're hearing this week that a silage bale slicer and plastic remover that will attach to the loader of the tractor is going to be in. So it really is kind of nitty-gritty stuff that they're at. Interestingly, for anybody like myself who has a few horses hanging around the place, there is a few equestrian equine items in this list. That's a new departure for the Department of Agriculture and will be of particular interest to the readers of the Irish Field. But yeah, lots and lots of items, too many to list here, but lots of new items going into that kind of 450 items that Noel is talking about.
Yeah, sure. It's one that as soon as we get the full detail on, we'll be reporting in the paper and online. So any listener who wants to know exactly what they can get money for through TAMS in the new scheme, to make sure to keep an eye to that. And look, just maybe before you go, Adam, I might come to yourself, Rachel. MII had a report out. It was actually launched this morning, and our colleague Amy Ford is at the launch, just in relation to their beef sector sustainability targets. And they're saying that they want to cut beef sector emissions on farms by 30% by 2030. It actually goes beyond the farm sector or the agricultural sector overall target of 25%. So MII really pushing out the boat here. But I suppose, is there much weight to it? You know, they're saying they want to cut emissions anyway, but what is their thinking behind it?
Yeah, so I suppose, Barry, their genotyping the herd is what they've come out with. I suppose by genotyping all animals from birth, they're saying that it could deliver a net benefit of 650 million. So I suppose the economic factor there is the biggest thing to consider in what they're saying. suppose obviously also that the benefits, as you say, for reducing emissions from the sector, will play a big role as well, and genotyping will play a big role in that. So, you know, it's one of their 11 actions outlined in the Beef Sustainability Report, which aims to cut them significantly, I suppose. At the moment, farmers are, it's costing farmers about 15 euros a head to genotype cattle, and that's with them already paying 5 euros for tags and to put for postage, I suppose. The report also said, I suppose it leaves up to 10 euros required to deliver full DNA calf registration, and Meat Industry Ireland said this is about the same as, or equates to about 170 million over 10 years.
Yeah, there's some interesting figures in there. Another one Amy pulled out, and it's all there on page 12, is that, you know, MII are kind of urging farmers to be cautious around bull beef finishing of young bulls, Adam. They're saying that, look, that the market isn't there, that there's kind of others in Europe who do it better than us, and that therefore it's a difficult market to jostle into. But it is interesting because I think, you know, in previous reports, you've seen that the bull beef system is maybe more the most environmentally sufficient. What did you make at that point they were making anyway?
Look, it's really frustrating, Barry, to see that. Look, one of the proven scientific ways of reducing beef emissions is bull beef. It's more profitable, you know, beef system to operate on a farm, and yet here we have the MII and the umbrella body for beef factories running away from it again in their report. And look, there's a lot of aspirational stuff in this report. It's lovely. It's lovely, well written, and there's lovely photos in it. But they're missing the detail around how much they're going to pay farmers to reduce emissions, or if they're going to be able to market this beef. I take it they'll be able to market beef with lower emissions at a higher cost to consumers. Well, how is that going to be passed back to farmers? And while there is, it, I'm not being negative towards the report, it's 31 pages, but it's really a lot of aspirational stuff. To be honest, it's a rehash of the MAC curve, it's a rehash of the Climate Action Plan, and really, you know, they're looking in, I suppose, and be able to show people what they're doing. I'd be interested to see, in terms of that, if there's going to come in a bonus for younger cattle, well, what will happen to older cattle? Because as true as night follows day, that will be price neutral, you can guarantee, in terms of where they're going with that. So they'll really heavily penalise. I would surmise that heavily penalise over 31 cattle to add bonuses to under 31 cattle. I want to see the detail on that, and that's where I stand on it.
Yeah, no, and as I said there, Amy Ford is at that launch here this morning, so I'm sure we'll have more details. She's going to put some hard questions to MII there to see that they're thinking behind the, as you said, that 30-page document, and to kind of get more substance from it. But look, Adam, thanks for joining the podcast. You might change it up altogether now and move on to something for dairy listeners. And Declan O'Brien, you have a good analysis this week on page 11 there in the paper, just in relation to the milk price forecast, Dec, and where it's going. And look, it's not good news, I gather, for dairy farmers.
No, if you look at what dairy analysts are saying, both we talked to Rabobank and we talked to FX Stone, they'd be traders. They're saying that the prices are going to slide in the first 4 months of the year. Now, it's not all bad news. They're saying that prices are likely, given what they're paying on commodity markets for dairy commodities such as butter, skim milk powder, etc., the prices are likely to come back to an equivalent of 45 to 50 cents a litre. They're talking over the first 4 months of the year. But then, looking to the back end, Rabobank's Richard Shaper is saying, look, there could be a rebound in this. He's saying that this is all, it's not a function of supply, it's a function now at the moment of demand. He said there's only a slight overhang of commodity, of product in Europe at the moment. That's is likely to bring in the first 3 months of the year European prices back close to global prices. He said last year Europe had a deficit, a slight deficit, as he says supplies were slightly shy, or overall milk production was slightly shy of requirements, and therefore you had a price surge. Now he's saying that in the second half of this year, the slight oversupply that's there at the moment will be balanced out. He pointed to You've got to match, obviously, supply and demand. He said demand is growing year on year by 1% to 1.5%. Therefore, he said the growth in Europe will be taken up. He said he pointed out that the United States is growing at 1.5% anyway, but that you have weather implications and weather events in New Zealand that's going to hit production there. So it's not all doom and gloom, but obviously things are set for what they call a correction. And the indications on that correction are not good, because we had Lakeland coming out saying, expressing what might be called the doom and gloom scenario and saying prices are going to fall. You have the PPI, or new as PPI index, has come below 50. It's hit 49, you know, and processors are going to use these signals to get prices back. And what farmers are afraid of is they're saying, look, at the price of production has rocketed. It's come on up on north of 37 cents a litre. And that's all that depends from farm to farm. They're talking averages here. But they're saying that any price slide is really going to hit incomes. Now, how far back prices will come, who knows? But what farm orgs are saying is, okay, we might get a rebound, but we won't get the rebound, won't hit until after the peak. So this price cut, if they're severe over the first 3 months of the year, 4 months, they're going to get their prices down low for the peak production months and then maybe bring them back up again later in the year.
All
the ability to make money will be gone.
Yeah, no, all eyes are going to be on the milk prices. And look, it's the 9th of February here now, and none of the processors are out with their January price yet, but we'll be reporting on that as soon as we get news of it. And as I said, look, farmers calving down cows at the moment and getting going on milking for the new year. You know, they'll be keeping a close eye on how things are going to go. I think the ICMSA was actually yesterday, you mentioned their farm orgs, like, and they were urging and saying, you know, that processors shouldn't be as negative about the price, that there is international indicators that suggest, you know, the confidence is still there. As you said, they were saying, you know, that from when the prices are going up, that the processors are slow to give that return to the farmer, but when they're going down, they're very quick off the mark to pass back that.
I think from the processor side too, you have to take on what they're saying about the markets. You know, if you just take butter for an example, you know, that's gone from a high of 7,400 a ton, even north of 7,400 a ton. You know, you're back now at 4,500. You know, that is reality. Yeah. You know, you've got that's a 40% and over 40% reduction in price. Similar price reductions have been factored in on the, or have taken place on the powder side. So, you know, that's reality.
Yeah, no, it's only going one direction there for the moment. Look, there'll be more on that milk price side of things in our Farm Tech Talk podcast from dairy editor Aidan Brennan and the team there. So plenty of discussion there and further listening on that topic if dairy farmers want to hear more. Look, I suppose thanks for joining, Deck. We'll move on to two farmer-focused stories there on page 16. I might come to yourself first, Rachel. And you report that a Nugent cattle trailer was stolen down in Kerry. It's the latest farm theft we've reported in recent weeks, and particularly I think there's been a rake of them down there in Kerry and Cork and that part of the country. What are the details on this one?
Yeah, so it seems like there's not a week goes by, Barry, that we're not reporting some sort of a theft on farms. And this week, well, it was last week, actually, last Thursday night, a dairy farmer, Martin Graney, had a 14-foot Nugent cattle trailer stolen. So, you know, he reckons it's in the region of worth in the region of about 6,000 to 7,000. When he was in the yard next morning, you know, he spotted it was gone. No word of, I suppose, where it went. Very hard to track these things. And I suppose at the moment guards are investigating, and they're trying to tap into CCTV around the place. But you know, a big blow, and he's a dairy farmer. He's busy. This is a busy time of year, and not a nice thing to see when you go out in the morning. But you know, so this farmer was in Ballinasair, Barry, on the Dingle Peninsula, and it's only about 30 minutes from where there were a number of sheep stolen back in, it was around the 16th of January. So it seems to be pretty rampant down around there at the moment.
Yeah, it's I think there was one time, you know, that the cattle thefts or machinery thefts were focused at the border, but Jesus, you couldn't get further away from the border down in Kerry. So it'll be interesting to see, is there anything done about that? And, you know, is there any more crime down there and farm crime in the weeks and months ahead? And look, we'll continue to pour on it. And any listener with detail or with information on that theft, we'd encourage them to get in touch with Gardaí down that part of the country. And look, thanks, Rachel. Move on to Noel. So, Noel, you have an interesting story again. This was big news last year when Minister Eamon Ryan came out about new turf and peat cutting regulations. And you have a story where a peat cutter was fined €7,700 or in around that for the legal extraction of peat. An interesting story. What are the details?
Yeah, this is the case. The operator is located just outside Athlone in County Westmeath. As far as we know, he pleaded guilty to extracting peat. So we don't know exactly, the EPA hasn't said if that was turf or if it was peat moss. So your peat moss maybe for growing mushrooms or for bedding cattle or anything like that. The operator pleaded guilty to extracting peat on three occasions last year. So they were in May and July. And the prosecution was taken by the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA. The operator didn't have a license when he was carrying out this peat extraction, and he pleaded guilty to it on the three occasions. I suppose the licensing system that's there, a lot of the peat extractors, a lot of the operators there that are in the kind of horticultural peat side of things, they say that it's very hard to get through, and there's been very few operators who have been able to go through the compliance process and get all the permissions they need. So there, these kind of cases, you do see them crop up every now and again, and they can be taken right up to high court level in the kind of interpretations there of the planning laws. And just, I suppose, for our listeners, we would have covered off a couple of stories last year in relation to this peat. So not turf itself, but the peat moss. And it has been imported into the country from as far away as kind of Scandinavia, Germany, Latvia, and even Sri Lanka. So I suppose we are putting this regulatory system in place that the operators say that it's impossible to comply with, but the alternative is to still import the stuff from quite far away. In total, the operator had to pay a total between fines and costs of $7,700 to the EPA. So I'm sure whatever activity that was going on there is either licensed or has stopped now for the minute.
Yeah, it's no small sum of money that he had to hand over. So look, again, it's an interesting story and just shows, you know, how the legislation can impact people. Look, thanks for joining the podcast, Noel. That's all we have time for this week, folks, but there is lots more reading in this week's paper, including news that agricultural land prices are up 18% in 2022 to an average of over €12,000 per acre. We also have fertilizer price news and how some merchants are being accused of not quoting farmers. And we have a spread on organics and how the sector has fared across Europe over the last decade. More on those and all discussed by the team today in this week's paper, available in shops across the country now. A special thanks to Jerome Dunn and Claire Nash from our team for the editing of this podcast. And thanks to you for joining and for listening. Safe calving and lambing, and talk to you the next time.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.